Well, I'm pleased to be with you this morning. And as I've been saying to folks lately, you've never looked so good. No glasses. I've had both of my cataracts fixed and actually can see you and my text. So, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. This morning I want to touch on the Christmas theme because it's that time of the year. And illustrate to you that while we traditionally in Presbyterian circles preach on a singular text and expound it in detail, there's also value at times in preaching on a whole book at once. And I want to illustrate a way in which you can do that. Obviously, if you do that, you don't preach on all the details in that book. You pick up certain high points. Let's start with the birth narrative in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Their husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bear a son, and ye shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We are all aware, being theological students and professors, that the English name Jesus comes from the Greek form of that name, and the Greek form is the standard rendering of the Hebrew name we know as Joshua. And that the name Joshua itself is made up of the first syllable of the divine name, Yah, and the verb to save. So you shall call his name Jesus means you shall call his name Yahweh saves in terms of meaning. For he will save his people from their sins. Matthew here announces that the purpose of the coming of Jesus, and therefore the purpose of his entire narrative, is that this Jesus born of Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, is the one who does what his name means. Throughout the Old Testament, everybody has names. Many of those has names that mean something. And many of those names describe what God does or what God is like. And the person themselves don't do the meaning of their name. But this name, Jesus, Yahweh saves. Jesus is the one who does the meaning of the name. Because he will what? Save his people from their sins. As we read through the whole Gospel of Matthew, and I encourage you someday to find yourself about 2 hours of time. That's about all it takes. And just read Matthew from beginning to end. Don't stop. Don't go looking up Greek verses. Let's just read through it to feel the overall sense of the passage, of the book. Jesus comes to save his people from their sins. And the idea of Jesus saving and the idea of saving from sins are themes that run through the Gospel of Matthew. And so when Peter steps out of the boat and comes walking to Jesus and then begins to sink, he cries out in Greek, Kyrie eleison, now, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus saves him out of the water. And a Canaanite woman comes and she has a daughter who needs to be healed. And the Canaanite woman shows real faith. And Jesus says, salvation has come to you. Jesus, throughout the book, saves. But in particular, we see him saving people from their sin. The remarkable passage here is the story of the paralytic who is brought to Jesus. And Jesus says to the paralytic, first of all, son, your sins are forgiven. And there's a conflict with the Pharisees who think that to be blasphemy. Jesus says, which is the easier work to do? A better translation than most of the translation. Which is the easier work to do? to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise up and walk. Well, they're both entirely impossible to ordinary human beings. But Jesus says, rise up and walk. And the man rises up, takes his bed, walks. Because Jesus saves his people from their sins. But this theme of saving from sin in Matthew's gospel has a very important passage in it that we often miss because of how the translations render the text. And this is in chapter 20 of Matthew, the beginning in verse 26. It shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever shall be first among you shall be your slave. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And this is the only occurrence in our New Testament literature where this Greek word used here, pronounced lutron, is translated as ransom. But this root of this word, lutron, the verb is lutrao, and the abstract noun is lutrosis. This noun and its verbal cognate occur throughout the translation of the Hebrew scriptures into Greek in the Septuagint. But because the English uses ransom here and another word everywhere else where this word occurs, you don't make a connection. The other way that this word is rendered into English is by the noun redeem and by the verb to redeem and by the abstract noun redemption. Redeem, redemption. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a redemption for many. A lutron for many. You say, well, what does that refer to? What's the point of this? Again, if you're an ancient person and you read your Old Testament in Greek and you read the apostolic letters and the Gospels in Greek, as everyone was doing in the first century, even the Palestinian Jews who were Aramaic speakers still used the Septuagint, you would say, wait, that sounds familiar. Jesus says, I have come to give my life a lutron, a redemption for many. That reminds me of a psalm. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to my cry, to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Why is the psalmist here waiting for the Lord? Well, with the Lord, there is forgiveness. If he should mark iniquities, who should stand? He is crying out with pleas for mercy. He is waiting for the mercy and the forgiveness of God to appear, for the day when God would save his people from their sins. And so he says in verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love or mercy, and with him is plentiful redemption. Lutrosis. Remember, lutron back in Matthew? Lutrosis, abstract and common noun from the same root. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Lutrao, the verb. Same noun and verb family in all the passages. Jesus comes to save his people from their sins. And so he comes to fulfill the promise of verse 8 of Psalm 130 that God will, future tense, redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And Jesus says, I've come not to be served, but to serve and give my life a redemption for many. I've come to do what Psalm 130 promises Yahweh will do. Because my name means Yahweh saves. And this takes a full expression then towards the end of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus explains how it is that he will redeem many, how he will be the redemption for many. In chapter 26 and beginning in verse 27, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said to them, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. If we follow the nestle along critical text and read this the way the translation here has it, English Standard Version, Jesus talks about my blood of the covenant, an allusion back to Exodus, where Moses takes blood and sprinkles it on the book and on the implements and on the people and calls it the blood of the covenant. And here Jesus comes and says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is shed for many. I've come to give my life a redemption for many, chapter 20. And then only in Matthew, not in the parallel in Mark, the additional phrase, for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus comes to save his people from their sins. He comes to give his life a redemption for many. He sheds his blood as the blood of the covenant that brings the forgiveness of sins to the people of God. That is how he will save his people from their sins, by shedding his blood as blood of the covenant that is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, that he will fulfill the meaning of his name, Jesus, Joshua, in our English translations of the Hebrew text, Yahweh saves. And because Jesus is and does what his name means, because he is the one who performs the salvation that Yahweh said he would provide, who does the redemption from iniquity that was promised by Yahweh. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that is the whole of the book of Matthew. Not all the details that are in it, but the overall thematic meaning of the book. That Yahweh takes human flesh, born of a virgin, to save his people from their sins by being the redemption for many, by shedding his blood as the blood of the covenant that is the forgiveness of sins. And then by rising again in the same human flesh on the third day. This is the gospel according to Matthew. And it is good news. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your inspiration of the gospel of Matthew, for the way in which you worked in the disciple and apostle Matthew to record and to express to us what he and the others saw and heard in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that through him, we know that we are saved from our sins. That just as Jesus took away the sin of the paralytic who believed in him, he takes away our sin when we believe in him. We thank you that he is the redemption promised in Psalm 130. We thank you that his blood is the blood of the covenant that cleanses us, that brings us forgiveness. We ask, Heavenly Father, as we celebrate his birth, we may always remember do we celebrate the birth of the one who came to die for us, that he might save us from our sins. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 130 and sing it together.